Chapter 146, to I. D. Van Horn, Wellington, New Zealand, July 20, 1893. Elder I. D. Van Horn, Charlotte, Michigan. Dear Brother, my silence may be misinterpreted by you to think I do not accept your letter of confession. But, dear brother, this is not the case. I do accept your letter fully, and am very, very thankful your eyes have been anointed with the heavenly eye salve, that you may see clearly and give to the flock of God meat in due season, which they so much need. The powers of Satan to seduce and deceive are so strong, and his delusions of every kind so multitudinous, that every watchman needs now to give the trumpet a certain sound. There must be now no deviating from the light that God gives at this present time. Light is constantly shining now upon many, and it is the very thing they need for this time. Old truths are, if we cherish the light presented in new aspects that have not been seen before, and as the providence of God is certainly at work to bring the crisis in the closing scenes of this earth's history, there will be a power, the office work of the Holy Spirit, stirring the hearts of the men in responsible positions to unflinchingly stand at their posts of duty as a unit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This has been always applicable to God's people in every age of the world, but how much more so to the remnant church, who have to meet the constant and most powerful masterly workings of the power of darkness for this last time. The words of the apostle come sounding down the lines to this time, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." These words inspired of God are appropriate for us. They apply in a special manner to those who are endeavoring to keep the commandments of God amidst a crooked and perverse nation among whom they shine as lights in the world. Oh, how solemn, how fearfully solemn is this time for the youth among us who have had great light, and for those who stand as watchmen upon the walls of Zion, that their words, spirit, and character shall not be misleading to those with whom they associate and to those with whom they are brought in contact. The inspired apostle continues, "Wherefore, in consideration of the warfare against not flesh and blood, but satanic agencies disguised, take unto you the whole armor of God. Make your guide the word. Take it, the whole armor which is furnished you in the Scriptures, is all prepared for you to take. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Fiction, spurious interpretations of the Scriptures, dishes of fables, are everywhere presented for your acceptance. But great discernment is needed that the girdle should be the golden chain of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, not your own, but the righteousness of Christ. This is the fortress of the soul. We may, with Christ's righteousness going before us, withstand the moral darkness and penetrate the devices of the satanic agencies. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The inconsistencies, the unreasonable workings of the human agents, stirred with a power from beneath, will create in those who reverence God a holy indignation to see the truth of God brought into contempt, and its advocates misrepresented and clothed in garments of darkness, false charges. Then is the very time the Holy Spirit is to take possession of the human mind, and it be made to appear that Christ is formed within the hope of glory. While the living human agents are being moved with a power from beneath, and the satanic agencies seem to have full control almost of the world, acting a conspicuous part just before the second appearing of our Lord to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. The two classes which are formed to enact the solemnities of the last day will be distinguished as the commandment-keeping people of God and the commandment-breakers who are inspired by the devil and his angels. The appearance is as if the infernal government had been transferred from hell to earth. The Lord Jesus will open the eyes of all who have been walking in the light, that they shall not be deceived with the pretentious spirit of those who claim great sanctity and say, "Lord, Lord," while they stubbornly refuse to do the will of God. Christ repeated the princely titles of Satan as one perfectly familiar with his workings and usurped authority. Christ gave the warnings to be heeded and pointed to Satan's thrones, principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. The professed Christian world is under Satan's sway. Christ calls the prince of this kingdom Satan, Beelzebub, a liar, a murderer from the beginning, the wicked and evil one who is constantly working with the unholy and disobedient to trample upon the laws of Jehovah. Satan acquired the supremacy as a legislator in guilt, to compel by decree the transgression of God's law. And the professed Christian world come under his banner, fully choosing his service, and shall do after the works of the fallen foe. The rebellious chieftain signalized himself as having authority to establish laws entirely contrary to the laws of Jehovah, the living and only true God, the supreme ruler in heaven and in earth. When this deceiving power is accepted in the place of light plainly given in God's word, Satan stands as their ruler. The daring leader in rebellion is given by human agencies the preeminence above God, and the prince of darkness is acknowledged as their supreme authority. The number of his angels we cannot conjecture, but his field is the world, and he multiplies himself through his agencies over his whole field, the world, concurring in and actively instigating the clergy to be his efficient workers in making of none effect the law of God, of tearing down his memorial, the insignia of his honor and his supremacy. There is no lack of satanic agencies. Every soul who will now evade through sophistry the plain "Thus saith the Lord," and misinterpret and evade the plainest conclusions of the written inspired word, will become instruments to tempt and coerce, and stirred with a satanic spirit, purpose to afflict and oppress and compel the human agents to dishonor God's law and accept and advocate Satan's legislation and reverse his enactments with a zeal proportionate to their blinding delusions. Our Lord declares that Satan abode not in the truth. Once he did bear rule under God in Jesus Christ, and all was radiant and lovely. Ezekiel 28, verses 1 to 3, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Here we see that there is a fallen angel whose subtlety we have to meet, and every one who doth not make God his strength will be unable to meet this satanic power. The world is asleep. The watchmen are asleep, crying peace and safety in the place of laboring with energy and searching the scriptures diligently to know what all this wickedness means that is swelling to such fearful proportions. They say to the wicked who are trampling upon the law of God, "It shall be well with you." Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. In place of being softened by the long-suffering of God and his long patience, they are encouraged by his forbearance to further resistance, flattering themselves in their sinfulness and impenitence that he that has not awakened his wrath against them to curse their wicked inventions will spare a little longer, and they may be ambitious and persistently follow in their own way with nothing to interpose or to molest them in their inventions, and at some future time they will repent. Oh, what can we say to awaken the soul's interest to make no compromise with Satan, but make thorough work for repentance before it is everlastingly too late? How can we make them consider that there are limits to the forbearance of God, and that it is possible for them to pass the limit of the forbearance of God, as did Judas and Saul? God allows nations a certain period of probation, but there is a point they can reach and can pass, and then iniquity accumulated will receive not mercy, not longer forbearance, but an outbreak of the indignation of God, and be visited with punishment unmixed with mercy. God will arise in mighty power and show, though slow to anger, he will not acquit the wicked. The wickedness of each generation is not forgotten. Each century of increased profligacy has treasured up wrath, and Christ said unto those who resisted all his mercy, all the blessings he presented to them, addressing the rejecters of his salvation, "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, for the blood of all the prophets, which had been shed from the foundation of the world, should be required of the nation he addressed." They had the beacon warning in the jealousies, in the hatred, in the despisings of warnings and messages sent to them, and God's punishment came upon them for their cruelty. And notwithstanding all this, those who separated from God repeated the history of their fathers, and thus it is in our day. Oh, that men would be aroused and flee from the wrath to come! But the scenes transacting are very deceiving. Its progress is so gradual, their own degeneracy increasing. Today is so much as was yesterday, as in the destruction of the old world by water, and as Sodom by fire. They are continually strengthened in their own human inventions, and the imaginations of their impure and corrupt hearts were evil, and that continually, so that they had no real sense of sin. Who will stand against these bewitching, deceiving delusions? We have proof that God keeps a reckoning with nations, that there is a sum total of guilt, that although it is beyond the power of human minds to define the amount God allows not to pass, but when the point of transgression is fully reached, when the law of God is made void, God takes account of the dishonor put upon his government, and he charges one generation with the crimes of the preceding generation if they follow in the same evil course. Your light is constantly increasing. What can I say that will affect the soul? What can I say that will arouse our people to serious contemplation and true devotion? What temptations are constantly presenting dangers to our youth? Boldness, impiety, selfishness, and independence are so common, and the standard of righteousness so low, and the end of all things is at hand. I am unable to describe to you my true state of feelings. I am seeking to do all that I can, but I see so little can be done without money and workers. Much love to Adelia and your children. May the Lord lead and guide them, is my prayer. Ellen G. White.